Welcome to another great message from Influencers Church Australia. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com. We hope that this message blesses you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you that it's your bride and that you love it. Thank you that we get to participate in it, that you use us. Give us faith, boldness and courage as we do. But right now for this word, I pray, it stir us and speak to us in Jesus' name, that we would walk out bold and confident that we have heard from you and step into the promises you have for us. And we all said it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series, it's the last week today, called From Desert to Dreamers, about when you have a promise from God, that when God's given you a dream, when God's promised something into your life, for your life, your kids, your health, your business, your marriage, your ministry, your marketplace influence, your future, that when God gives you a promise, God will bring that promise to pass. Amen. Come on, we've asked each week, who's been waiting on a promise from God? Show of hands. Who's believing for their answer? Who's got a dream from God that's yet to come to pass? These last few weeks, I've just been stirring your faith, saying God has that answer for you. Wasn't it incredible to hear of the promise that God's bringing to pass in Gavin's life that Gillian talked about? Gavin, come up here. Can we give it up for Gavin? Come on, Gav. In fact, while you're coming, Gav, where's Tina? Why don't you come up? Sam, why don't you come up too? You know, when you're waiting on a promise from God, sometimes you need to borrow from someone else's boldness. You need to hear about the miracles and promises God's bringing to pass in other people's life, because if God can do it for them, God can do it for you. So Gav, we heard today about the fact that this cancer is reducing in size. Sorry for hitting you. I just get excited. That God's doing a miracle in your life, and this has been a scary journey, but just tell us again what God's been doing, what's been happening.
So firstly, I just want to thank the whole church. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I remember 5 months ago, I was laying in a hospital bed, and someone FaceTimed me, and I saw the whole congregation just praying for me. And I just want to say thank you so, so much, because in that hospital bed, I felt the presence of God. Awesome. And it just gave me so much confidence that no matter what comes my way, I can be confident that God's got my back and it's all going to be all good.
Oh, come on, man.
But awesome. But basically, 5 months ago, I found out that I had 2 tumors in my brain, which was pretty full on. I remember Mum just breaking down in tears, and I was like, whatever, I'm just going to man it out. I'll be all good. I had to have a little bit of surgery just to basically find out what's inside my brain. And then the doctors told me to get rid of it, I'm going to have to go through some chemotherapy, and I'm also going to have to finish it off with some radiotherapy, which was pretty full on. As a 20-year-old, hearing that, you have to go through chemotherapy already. A few months ago, I finished my chemotherapy. Not going to lie, it was pretty tough. First 3 weeks, it was all good, but maybe like the last session of chemotherapy, I sort of broke down a bit because it was just so tough. I was really drained. But after the chemotherapy, like my brother, what he was saying was I had a few scans done before and after, and they were comparing it, and the surgeon went up to me and he said, mate, you cannot be any happier with the way chemotherapy went, which was pretty awesome.
Come on, man.
It was really good to hear that. Like my brother said, I'm still going through some radiotherapy, which is every single day, Monday to Friday. Every single step of the way, every single step, God's just been speaking to me. God's been guiding me. No matter how hard the times were, even if I was pretty good, God's just been guiding me every single step of the way, which is cool.
Awesome. Come on, let's give God praise. Isn't that so good? Because if God can do it for Gav, God can do it for you. Borrow from the boldness that you can see in what God's doing to him. Your health matters to God. Tina, recently God brought you into this new season and been our family's pastor, but you had a promise for a house and things were looking pretty grim. How did God come through? Come on, tell us.
Yeah, we both believed that God was directing us to a new season and a new level of involvement here, but we were living in Wollonga, which is almost an hour and a half away, and we knew that it was time to move. We knew that we needed to find another house. So we were renting and we decided, yep, that's it, we're going to look for another house. Only we didn't get another house very easily. We were looking for probably nearly 2 months, and there was just nothing available in the area. And I remember we had to hand the keys back on the Wednesday. And on the Monday, we had to make a decision. We had to decide, okay, do we put our stuff in storage and just stay at other people's houses, or do we hire a moving van in faith that we're going to get a house on by Wednesday, which is 2 days, which when you're renting a house, never happens. No. It just doesn't. But we knew that God had been faithful before, so he would be faithful again.
Come on.
And we did. We hired a moving truck. We loaded the entire contents of our house into this moving truck and just waited. Okay, God, come on. He woke us the early hours of the Tuesday, so that was the day before we had to move. And we were just praying and thinking about it and thinking, God, what are you doing? Like, what are we even going to have anywhere to live in a day's time? And we actually were looking on the internet in those early hours, and we found the house that we're in now.
Come on.
And it is Come just on. So incredibly amazing how it all worked out. Ask me the details, because honestly, God was in every single little detail.
Come
it's
on,
just
Tina.
Wonderful.
Come
but
on.
We actually got the house the day before we had to hand the keys back.
Wow, awesome.
So it was just incredible. And God has blessed us with a house, not only a great house, but it is above and beyond anything we could have hoped
Come
for.
On.
It's beautiful, it's perfect, it's close to church, which
Come
is amazing.
On.
And it's just incredible. God is always faithful, always faithful. I
awesome.
Love it, I love it.
Come on, let's give God praise. Heals your body, provides your house. And Sam, you and Lisa's been on a journey where you've been waiting for a while for God's next season and a breakthrough and a job. And what's been happening with you?
Yeah, we certainly have. My wife and I, well, I guess if we go back about 4 or 5 years, my job changed overnight. I've had the same job for 16 years. Wow. I'm a news photographer, which is not a common thing to do. And it's all I've ever done. So basically, my job changed overnight. I went from working fairly regular hours to shift work. Over that season, we've had 3 little kids, and so my wife's, you know, she's been working as well. So, you know, when I've been working nights, she's been working mornings, and vice versa. So it's a little bit like two ships passing in the night at times. And then just everything with that goes with having little kids as well. So we've just been at that point of exhaustion, I suppose, for a while as well. And in that season, I guess we've just often we've looked at each other and just gone like, this is crazy. How do we get out of this? The one kind of thing that needed to change was my job, because that was determining everything else that was kind of going on in our life. So, you know, we've been praying for that. It's been sort of impacting on our spiritual disciplines, impacting on our family life, impacting on our marriage. You know, we've got a strong marriage, but we want it to be growing and flourishing. And so it just, there's all those little pressures and feeling like we're living in a pressure cooker, I suppose. So, and also in that time, you know, my dad passed away, Lisa's uncle passed away. So we've had all of this stuff kind of happening. So I brought my little note here because I kind of got to that point where it's probably just me. No one else will probably do this, but you know, when you pray that frustrated prayer, right? So, you know, I came to God one night and I remember doing it, you know, in our front room where it's quiet. And I just said to him, Lord, I need a job that's Monday to Friday. I need a job that doesn't have nights involved with it. I need, you know, we want to go to church every week because we want to serve. And that's the other thing that it had an impact on was, you know, there was, you know, 10 weeks in a row this year that I haven't been able to get to church because I've been rostered on Sundays. You know, I want the opportunity to lead and mentor people and grow in that. We want to grow our marriage. We want to nurture our family. We want routine so our kids don't know when we're, you know, so it's not like they don't know when we're walking in the door or walking out of the door. Need the same income or even a little more. And I like the people I work with, so it's going to be a big change, you know, and stuff like that. So anyway, what happened was in April, where the company that I work for announced that they were going to be making about 60% of photographers redundant, asking for people to put their hands up. My wife and I had talked about it. I put my hand up. They took me in, they said, yep, we've accepted, you can have a redundancy. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I thought, you know, we'll just, you know, God's got it, you know. And so I went, there was a job interview process come up with an agency in Adelaide, which never really happens. So I just kind of went in there to see what they had to offer. So they had some freelance positions. I thought I could just do some freelance photography. got through the interview process. Last week, two guys flew over, pulled me into an office, said, we want to give you a full-time job.
Come on, man.
Pretty much. And it's not just that, right? I mean, this is the thing that blew our minds. They basically said, work it how you need it. If it's Monday to Friday, go for it. No nights, Sundays off, opportunity to lead and mentor. I've got a trainee. I've got 9 freelancers that I'm sort of leading, I suppose. One thing he said to me was, like, we want, in our company, we put our families first. So like, make sure that you've got your family time. We've got routine. And this is the thing that really blew our minds. You know, I prayed in that prayer that, you know, I said, God, I really like the people I work with. I'll miss them. Well, the job is in the same place, on the same floor, on the same desk, with the same people.
No way.
For a different company.
Come on, man.
So we're just totally blown away with what he did.
Come on. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Thank you, guys. This is the thing. If God can do it for them, God can do it for you. To the detail of the promise, to the promise that's nearly complete, to the one, even when it feels like God's at the very last minute, it doesn't matter if it's your health and your body. If he gave the promise, he'll fulfill the promise. If it's for your house, the detail matters, the location matters, the street matters to God. The detail of your job and your family and your relationships and your serving, your ministry, it all matters to God. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Borrow from their boldness in Jesus' name. I mean, Christy, come up here. One more, come on. Use my mic, it's fine. Christy, one of our best mates, been in the season for a while, wonderful woman of God, single mum to the brilliant Max, but had a promise from God, and God brought that promise to pass pretty recently. Just quickly tell us what's going on.
All right, so I started coming to church in about 2009 and had a string of interesting relationships, and God kind of smashed me and said, look, you know what? We've got more for you, Christy. And for 5 years, I was journeying through that, believing that I'll find the right one. Over time, you just kind of think that as a person coming in the church, that you're kind of going to get second rate. You know, I've got a past, I've got a history. I'm not going to get that good little Christian boy. But 5 weeks ago, I married Philippe, who is that good little Christian boy. And God really spoke to me and said, along the way and along the journey, that don't give up what we're working for. In 1 John, it speaks about the fact that he does have a plan for us, and we don't give up when it's tough, don't give up when it's hard, don't give up when you think it's not happening. And he also promised me that he'll give me a double portion for my shame. Didn't realise that came with 2 extra kids on Phil's end. But God is faithful even in the waiting season. So stay the course, stay the path, and God will reward you for it.
Come on, Christy. Awesome. Come on. He literally gave her Jesus. Ah, that'll get old soon. Hey, if God can do it for Christy, God can do it for you. You got to borrow from their boldness, that when God gives you a promise, he is not man that he would lie. He doesn't change his mind. His promises are yes and amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, you need to become a promise person, someone that in your dark season remembers what God promised you in the light. Never forget that when you're in a dark season in your work your workplace, what God promised you in the light, that he would come through. When your marriage is in a dark place, don't forget what he gave you in the light, that he is a promise giver, and you need to be a promise person, that he's not finished with you yet. When your finances are in a dark place, when your business is in a dark place, when your life and health is in a dark place, never forget the promises he gave you in the light. His promises are yes and amen. God's not finished with you yet. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Will you not embrace it? I'm making ways in the wilderness. I'm making a way in the desert. The desert season is coming to an end. I want to prophesy over your life. This desert season is about to end. It's a promised land that's coming. It's a new season. You're going from a desert to a dream in Jesus' name. God says now is the time. You've got to embrace it. Do you believe it today? Come on, this is the last week of this series, but I know the Holy Spirit has led me to speak this into your life because some of us, we cannot fast track the promises of God, but we can miss them. We can miss them when they come and not understand them, but God's got more for you. I'm going to preach really quickly because we're going to get out there and eat some Chinese food in Jesus' name. But I've got a word, I've got a scripture for you. I want to declare over your life. Do not take this as just a verse we throw on the screen. We make this fit into the message we've got. I believe this is from God to you today. I'm confident of that. And I want to prophetically declare this over your life. That when the Lord restored, in Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, when God restored the fortunes of Christy, when God restored the fortunes of Gavin, when God restored the fortunes in your life, when God restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dreamed that had a promise from God. And our mouths were filled with laughter. Come on, I'm going to speak this over your life. If you're in a dark season, a desert season, a wilderness season, I speak that there will be a season where your mouths will be filled with laughter and your tongues with songs of joy. And that it was said amongst the nations, meaning the people that didn't know God, meaning the people in your workplace, the people in your street, the people in your school and university. It'll be said there about you. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. There's a season coming where you'll be filled with joy. In the Message version, in verse 6, it says, "So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." Let me say it again. For you who have been having a heavy heart, weary, tired, and waiting, there is a season coming where you are going to come home, where you're going to come back into this new day with laughter and with armloads of blessing. If you believe that and receive it from God, say amen. See, He never forsakes the faithful. He never abandons those that won't quit. And He won't forget those that are uncompromising, that will hold on to the promises of God for their life and saying, "I'm not letting go until I see my breakthrough." So quick things. Here's a few things that you need to do because I can't make the promises of God come any faster. I don't think you can fast track the seasons of God. But I do believe you can position yourself so you are ready to receive from God when God comes and speaks to your life, so that you don't miss it and so it doesn't pass you by. There are three things I believe you have to do to get yourself in the right posture to receive from God. And the first thing is you need to position yourself. You need to position yourself like you're about to receive. If I've got a football there, if I'm going to receive this football, Gavin, run over there for me. If Gillian is about to receive the promise from God, if he's about to receive the promise, he doesn't turn his back. He doesn't look away. He gets ready, crouch down, hand in front of him, because the promise of God is coming his way. Well done, Gills. Gillian, are you a single man? My goodness! What is the process here? How do people book a date with Gillian? I don't know. Ask his mum. That was horrible, that second kick. When you go to receive the promise from God, you have to position yourself. Now, many people don't receive God's promises and they don't see them fulfilled and they get frustrated and they wonder why God's not answering their prayers. But the truth is, to receive it, you have to play your part. It's one thing to want to receive, but it's another thing to get yourself in a posture ready to receive. And you see, with every promise from God, there comes a condition. See, most of us want to know about the promise and we don't know about the condition. Most of us know scriptures that we apply to our life, but we don't read it in its full context to know what it's really saying. Come on, like we know this, the promises of God are yes and amen. But it's not really what it says, is it? It says it in 1 Corinthians, "For the promise of God have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes." End of sentence. And then comes the condition. "And through Christ, amen," which means yes ascends to God for his glory. It's not whatever I want, God says yes and amen. It's God says yes, and whatever he says yes or no to, I say yes to. It's I align myself with God, and then God brings about the promises of his, that he has for my life. It's not whatever I want, God says yes and amen. It's wherever God says yes, I say yes. There's a condition that's attached to receiving the promise. Come on. Hasn't God promised us to give us all of the desires of our heart? We claim this and believe this, but what does it really say? It says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. This is what it means. Find peace and satisfaction in him first, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. It means if you're waiting for that perfect person, you have to be satisfied and have peace in God and say, if I never receive someone, Christ is enough. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got satisfaction. If that job never comes, if I end up living in a moving van, I mean, if I never get my healing in this earth right here, I can find peace and satisfaction in God. I delight myself in the Lord. And when I do that, he brings me the desires of my heart. I mean, I can ask God for anything in his name and he will do it. But what does it really say? John 14, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. He repeats it and here comes the condition. If you love me, keep my commands. He's not God, just meet what I want. It's God, I'll first meet what you ask and then I know whatever it is that you have for my life, because I'm in alignment with you, I know you'll meet it. Are you seeing what this means? There's conditions attached. Resist the devil and he shall flee. I mean, you can take authority over the devil because you have it, but if you don't understand the rest of the scripture that says, be subject to God. First means I align what I watch and what I say and what I listen to and who speaks into my life and what comes out of my mouth. When I do that, when I align myself with God, when I'm subject to God, I can resist the devil and he shall flee. There comes a condition with this. We want to receive from God. But are we willing to give? And when we give, are we willing to do so cheerfully? You see, if you want to receive your promise, you've got to get yourself in a position that doesn't just say, God, meet me where I am, but I'm going to get myself ready to receive what you have. And that means posturing myself to receive the promise from God, which means we all have a part to play. So here's the challenge. If you're waiting on a promise from God, maybe what have I not done that he's already instructed me to do that would open the floodgates of heaven and release that blessing, release that dream, and release that promise into my life? What's my part that I need to play? Is this helping you today? So the first thing we want to do is we need to make sure that we're positioned. The next thing you need to do is you need to see the promise. You have to fix your eyes on the promise giver. For some of us, we need to make sure that we get vision back again, that we see the promise again. The ability to see things can't come naturally. He says, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, says, so we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. You see, we're here to have a vision and fix our eyes, not look at from time to time, not remember when things are good and things are light or we're in church, but it says, fix your eyes on the unseen. It means you keep your gaze constantly fixed on the promises of God until they come to pass. See, the word tells us that without vision, the people perish. That word vision means to get a prophetic vision. It means to see things that were not as if they were. It means that you need to see the things that haven't come to pass. It means you get your eyes on the dreams from God. It means get your eyes on the things that God's promising your life and keep them there. If he's promised you a breakthrough in your marriage, you keep your eyes on the breakthrough in your marriage. If he's promised you healing in your body, you keep your eyes fixed on the healing that's coming your way. It says if you don't, your faith will perish. The dream will perish. That you will perish. That if you take your eyes off his promises and fix your eyes on the natural circumstances of the world, it says that promise will pass you by. It'll miss you. It'll bounce off you because you never really expected it to come your way. See, too many of us receive a promise from God and then expect to be surprised when God comes through. We should be the people that are never surprised, but overwhelmed by his goodness. Gavin shouldn't be surprised that God heals him because he promised that by his stripes you are healed. But he should be overwhelmed by his goodness because our eyes were always fixed on the healing. The house, the reason the van was packed was because their eyes were on the promise giver. that a house was coming and I can see it before it comes. I'm not living in the possibility of turning my back and not receiving the promise. No, my eyes are fixed. If a promise gets kicked your way, if a promise gets passed your way and your back has turned to look at other things, you'll never receive it. You keep your eyes fixed on what God has promised you. You see, God gave us all imagination. Imagination is his gift, is a gift from God. Sometimes we think imagination is childish and we tell our kids to stop using their imagination. Now, I think our kids need to tell us to start using our imagination again. See, we cast down all imaginations that don't line up with the Word of God because God gave us imaginations so that we could prophetically see pictures of what God is yet to bring into our life. That God's plan was that we would dream a dream. I don't know if you've seen the movie Inception. A dream within a dream within a dream. I mean, God is the original Inception dream planter. That He puts a dream inside your mind. He puts a dream in your life. He puts a dream in your dream that you can grab a hold of and that can become a reality in your life. For some of us, we've gotten too mature that we've stopped imagining and stopped dreaming and stopped prophesying and stopped saying, God, what if you could bring that dream to pass in my life again? What if you could prosper my business? What if you could restore my marriage? What if you could bring about ministry? What if you could open the doors to marketplace ministry? You see, God says that He has a dream for you, a promise for you. Behold, stand in awe and say, wow, I'm not surprised because I never took my eye off it, but I'm overwhelmed. I stand in awe because you're doing a new thing. It's time to dream again. It's time to see again. It's time to fix your eyes on the promises of God again. I mean, I love going to the movies. You know why? Because I love the previews. See, I want to love previews. I get there early because I want to see what's coming soon. I'm watching and going, I can't watch that now, but it's coming soon. And you know what it does? It gets me excited and I'm waiting for the day and I'm counting down the day and I'm watching the previews because I love to see what's coming soon because I know it's coming my way. I never watch a preview and doubt if it's going to come out eventually. I know when I watch a preview, it's coming soon to a cinema near me. Some of us need to get the dreams of God and say they're like a preview that says it's coming soon for the Greenwood family. I mean, it's coming soon for your family. There's coming soon a promise for your health. There's coming soon a relationship for your life. There's coming soon a breakthrough in your business. There's coming soon a ministry opportunity. There's coming soon all the things that God promised for your life. It's time to get in early. It's time to sit there and get the popcorn and say, God, I have no doubt that when you say something's coming into my life, I'm watching, I'm waiting, I'm counting down the days. I mean, I'm here for this preview, but there's something more that's coming my way. It's time to believe it. They say we have something like 500 words that flash through our mind every minute. And the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Are the words that go through your mind doubt, worry, cynicism, confusion, frustration, self-doubting and disbelief? Because if that's what you have in your mind, that will drop into your heart and that's what will happen. That's who you'll become. But if it's your mind, and if God gave you that beautiful tool, take control of your mind and choose to think on things that are righteous and holy and of God and of blessing and of greater things and greater days that God promises you. Take control of your thoughts so that you can see what God has promised for your life. Begin to believe that God is going to bring those things to pass and change your thinking so that you can see it before it actually comes, so it doesn't bounce off you, it doesn't pass you by. You need to get yourself in the right posture. You need to see the promises of God. And the last thing is you need to call for it. When Jackson plays football, the very first thing they taught him before he did any skills was to stand there with his hands up, fix the eyes on the coach, and call for the ball. Hey, kick it to me. Hey, kick it here. Kick it here. The first thing they taught them was hands up, look at the coach, and yell for the ball. For some of us, we've stopped talking about it. We've stopped asking for it. We've stopped declaring it. We've stopped calling that promise into our life. And maybe we've turned our back. Maybe we've got our hands up, but we've actually stopped declaring it. For some of us that are in a dark season, for some of us that are yet to see our promise come to pass, I felt God say to tell you that it's because you've stopped declaring the promises of God that it hasn't come to pass yet. It's time to get the promises of God on your lips and start prophesying over your business. It's time to start prophesying over your body. It's time to start prophesying. Come on, someone. It's time to start prophesying over your kids. I mean, even now, as I'm preaching, don't sit there watching. Start saying amen. Let it be so, God. Come on, something has to shift on the inside of us, because God's promises never fall on deaf ears. God's promises never are changed. His promises are yes and amen. But can I believe it and call for it? Because here's the thing, if you start speaking it, you'll start thinking it. And if you start thinking it, you'll get in a position to receive it. So if you want to be in a position to receive it, you have to start thinking. If you want to start thinking, you need to start speaking. For some of us, the ball's coming and we're looking in the wrong direction. But James tells me this. He says that indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we what? We turn their whole body. Look at ships, although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. If you want to change the direction of your mind, you need to change what comes out of your mouth. If you want to receive the promises of God, you need to see it. And if you want to receive it, you've got to see it. And if to see it, you've got to change what comes out of here. Because what happens in here affects what's in here. And what's in here drops down into my heart. And as a man is in his heart, so he is. You know, I've got to change my heart. It means I've got to change my thinking. If I'm going to change my thinking, I've got to change my speaking. And that'll get me in a position ready to receive the promises of God. You know what? If you want to change the direction of your life, you need to change your posture. You need to change your mind. And it all starts with changing what comes out of your mouth. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to believe that God's going to speak to you today. But let me tell you this, it takes no more effort to speak something positive than it does something negative. Watch this. Nothing good's going to change in my life. God's got good things for me. See, no extra energy was just used in choosing to say God's got good things for me. If I'm driving a car, I have a choice to put my hand on the stick. And I can put it in drive or I can put it in reverse. That takes no less energy or no more energy. If I put it in reverse, put my foot on the accelerator, I will go backwards. But it takes the exact same energy to put that thing in drive and accelerate and go forward. For some of us, we're so used to going backwards that we just have to make the simple change. We think it's so hard to align ourselves and receive the promises. It's not. Just put this thing in the right direction and put yourself foot on the accelerator. For some of us, there's a letter on there called N. It's N. It's neutral. It means you're not going anywhere. You can put your foot in the accelerator all you want when you're in neutral, when you're just blasé, when you're just content, when you're just happy to stay where you are, and you won't get anywhere. Maybe you're not going backwards, but you're not going forwards either. It's time to get the promises of God on your mouth again. It's time to shift that gear and get it into drive. Put your foot on the accelerator and position yourself to receive what God has for your life. It's time to get the promises of God on your lips. That's why David, when he's in the worst of circumstances, says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, praise his holy name." He's saying, come on, all that's within me, come on, heart, mind, tongue, posture, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, praise his holy name. He says, forget not his benefits. He's saying, if he was faithful in the past, he's able in the future. He's looking backwards to the goodness of God and says, let's put this thing in drive, and says, here's the things he's going to do for my life. It's time to start declaring and believing and looking to the promises of God again. Become a promise person. Become someone that holds on to the fact that God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You need to know for your life and your marriage, he wants to do a new thing. For your business and your kids, his promise is a new thing. For every one of you in the balcony, in the parents' room, if God gives you a promise from God does not change. You just have to posture yourself. God got to change how you stand, change what you're looking at, and change what you say. And when God brings about his promises in his perfect time, you will receive it. You will give glory for it, that you can borrow from their boldness. You can say, let it be for me. Let it be for me, God. Let it be for my life, for my kids, for my family, for my workplace, for my calling. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. It's time to change your view. It's time to change your heart. It's time to change your lips. And as you do, forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past. Behold, I do a new thing. Come on, say it with me. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. That they will stand and look at you in wonder and say they went home laughing with armfuls of blessing. That is the promise. That he would take you from a desert to a dream. That he would move you from a wilderness to your promise. That this is not where you die, but you fight with him. You remind him. You keep telling him, I'm not letting go, God, until you bless me. I'm not letting go until I see my promise. You gave me this child. You'll restore this child. You gave me this dream. Breathe life into them. In the meantime, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Today he wants to remind you of his promise. Today he wants to give you something new for your family, for your kids. I believe right here, God can speak to every one of you. I believe he's about to. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer because I want you to use your lips, use your tongue and ask him. And we're going to have just a moment. We're near the end of the service. We're going to eat some food, but don't rush. Right now you can hear from God. Right now he wants to speak to you and remind you of his promises. And if you've never received a promise from God, he wants to give you a new one. Don't doubt it when he comes and speaks to your mind. Don't say, that's me. No, you're about to give him control of it so he will speak through you. And he's about to give promises and remind you of promises so you can walk out with boldness, with eyes fixed, tongue ready, and posture that you're about to receive. Father, for every person here today, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the declaration that you've given to us. For whatever area of our life is that we're believing for, we thank you that you're not finished with us yet. We thank you there's more that you have for us. That, Lord God, you want to speak to us. So Holy Spirit, right now, come and speak to every person. Every single one of us. Let us hear from you. Let us hear your sweet voice right now. And be reminded of what you have for us, our families, our seasons, what's ahead. Come on, say this after me. Father, come on everyone, say, Father, thank you that you love me and that you have good for me. I listen now. I position myself to hear from you. Remind me of your promises. Show me your promises. For my life and my family, I listen now. Holy Spirit, speak. Whoever you are, just listen. Let the Holy Spirit begin to drop the promises of God into your mind again and into your heart again so you become them.